No, she does beading. I think she does other work too.
Beading and other work. The writing to this, what about Eileen?
Eileen, she used to do beading. I don't know what else she did. I know she made doll for bringing it back.
Okay, on this, when I first start out, I'm going to ask you to tell us your name, where you were born, how old you are. And the reason why is we're trying to get the age difference in each category.
Yeah, okay.
What type of project you're involved in, what you could tell us about how you got interested in this type of project.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had any experience doing this type of project before?
Mm-hmm.
Is there certain ways that you teach them, or is there certain ways that you were taught as to how you do the corn planting or a certain time of the year that you plant?
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people know when you're supposed to plant, but
yeah.
It's just the idea.
Yeah.
Are you presently teaching others to learn this project, or do you see it as a necessity to learn how to do this?
Right.
I'm
gonna
get you back for that, you know?
Can I just get you to state your name first so we have it on the table?
Henrietta Goombaugh. Okay, it's Arnett Timothy.
Do both names, okay? All right. Your full name?
Arnett Timothy.
Okay. Now, do you have a native name as well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm not going to tell you.
Okay. And where you were born?
I was born in Raven Reserve.
And how old you are?
35.
Oh, just a young woman. First thing I'd like you to tell me about is the corn project and how you got started on it and how the whole project came to be.
Okay, I started working for the band I'm going in my fifth year in July. And my role here at the band is community and economic development coordinator. So after about the first 6 months of doing a basic assessment on the band in development, we were looking for something that economically the band could get involved with, and we had to take into consideration population and a small land base. So that limited development a lot. We looked back historically at what the band culturally had done, going way back, and they had all through the periods from zero to the present, they have always had their hands in agriculture in some way or another.
Mm-hmm.
So we were looking at tying an agricultural type project. I traveled around a lot prior to working with the band, and I knew there was a need for an interest in foods, native foods, and I knew there was a need within the native communities for corn and corn products because there was no one filling that need. When we originally started, we looked at a total native market on our native corn because we felt that people were losing the art of making corn soup for a lot of reasons. They either didn't have the time because it's a 7-hour process to do the corn soup, or they didn't have the resources like the corn, or they just didn't know how to do it anymore. So we felt that if we could supply those type of people, we could have a very small but productive program going on the reserve and in the community. From that, it just sort of, over the past 3 years, just grew and grew and grew and grew. And our market, we haven't even actually started production, and our market's potential is expanding to African people, Latin American people. People are asking for our corn in a lot of different areas where people in the U.S. are asking for our corn. And we haven't even begun putting it out on the market. So, you know, just to fill, according to our study figures, just to even fill a small portion of a Canadian African market, we would be looking at 3,000 acres. And that's basically the size of this reserve. Mm-hmm. So it has a lot of potential for us, but we're also looking at having a potential for other communities that we could eventually contract other native communities to grow corn for us to process and work with. When we started very, very small. We started on a job creation project. We hired 3 women and 3 men. The men were basically to work out in the fields. The women were basically to do the processing. There were 2 components of that program we were gearing at. One was introduce agriculture and home gardening back into the community to get women and families to understand the importance of growing their own foods versus buying from the stores in terms of cost and in terms of nutrition. We were in trying to encourage home canning back in the into the community again, which was pretty well getting to be a lost art. And the other goal was to look at the Indian corn as a possible product for the future. So we started out basically with 4 acres of land, 1 acre was garden, 3 acres was Indian corn, and that was it. Everything done was completely by hand. The women were out in the gardens with the men. They planted everything by hand. It was planted traditional method. There was no fertilizers. There was nothing used. They were planted in the hail manner. And so were the vegetables planted as old way as possible. In the fall, everything was picked totally by hand. Everything was canned by hand and manually, using pressure canners and whatever. Recipes that we used were basically recipes we received from the community. And it went fairly well. At the end of the season, the women produced darn close to 2,500 jars of food. And what ended up happening to that food was another very important part of the project was to develop a community understanding of what we wanted to do and to start building on a strong community foundation and support system for the project if it ever grew into anything bigger. So the initial year, there was a lot of excitement and response and skepticism in the community over the project. You could see a lot of different things happening in the community. You could see a lot of the old people coming to look at the gardens. You could see them looking at the corn. A lot of people would come there and see what was happening to it. We went around and solicited for recipes. There weren't many women who gave us their recipes. There was a couple of generous women who allowed us to have their recipes to use, and that was good. That's all we needed that year. Everything was canned. And at the end of the season, in the fall, we had a feast. Everything was put on display that was canned. Everything was available for people to see and touch. We made our own food dehydrators. They were all handmade. Everything was handmade. And people could see exactly what was done. Everything that was prepared at that meal was from the gardens and homemade. The only thing that wasn't homemade and prepared for the fields was a deer that was brought in, but it was brought in by the garden project people, and it was all cooked. And that night, it changed everything because the interest grew 100%. The support all of a sudden overnight was there, and the response in terms of people wanting to get on the project, to get the training, to get whatever they could or help in any way they could was there after that night because people could see a legitimate thing that was happening. They could touch the things. They could feel like it belonged to them. The other sideline things we saw over the year was that attendance in the job creation project was 100%. People worked overtime that they didn't have to work, and you wouldn't find that on job creations in the past that we've had. Destructions of the community garden. Community gardens were always in the community, but you know, the seeds were planted, people never maintained them. Kids went in and people went in, got what they want, and destroyed it. No one touched that garden. No one went in and bothered it. There was no destruction at all. People, you had a lot of respect for the gardens, and that seemed to grow over the years also, that respect and that. And people won't even, we try to encourage people, if you want vegetables, go and take the vegetables. Don't destroy, take what you need, and you're fine. People won't even go into the gardens. They come in and ask if they could have something. Could they go get it, or will somebody go pick me some of this for the, because they don't want to bother the gardens at all.
It's not wonderful.
Women were starting to come up to us and saying, or calling and saying, come over to my house, I've got some recipes you can borrow or you can use next year. So it was, everything was sort of falling in place a lot more quickly than we had anticipated it to be. We had anticipated maybe another year and a half before we'd get the full strong support that we had. But it came a lot quicker. I think I put a lot of emphasis on that happening basically because they were seeing the corn being revitalized again, and they had interest. People have never really watched things happen or develop in that format. So they felt more ownership to it because it was Indian corn from their people that had a lot to play with it. And every year something more sort of happened in the project, and the development grew, and people are getting more sense of pride over the product. So we've never really lost the support within the community. The following year we opened up again under job creation. We were fortunate to get again. And originally I think we had something like 10, 12 people apply for the original positions. The following year we had 27 people apply for 6 positions. And the demand on the people was placed a lot higher. The first year we talked to them about growth charts. We talked to them about plotting acreage properly. We talked to them about quality control. We talked to them about a lot of those things and filing and maintaining records. We went through the whole thing, but we didn't push it. We said, this is the things you should think about doing. This is why you should think about doing. But we didn't say, okay, do it, and we want to see the results. The only thing we actually did request was monthly reports, updates on activities they did. And that was fine. The following year, we said, now we want these things. We definitely want them. And it was a lot better because the people knew why we wanted them now. They went through 1 year, and they came back and they said, now I wonder how much of this we planted last year. I wonder where we put this last year. What did we do with this? And how did we do that? And we're saying, if you had kept your records, this is what the records do for you. Mm-hmm. So the following year, the records were kept up really well. They understood why they were keeping them up. They knew what benefit it was having to them. And they're all very well in place. But it had to be a short of a show. You can tell them, but until they understand why it happens, this doesn't make sense. And we could afford, actually, basically, to put through that, all of the simple things at the very beginning. And I'm glad we had job creation because it allowed us to play around with 1,000 tomato plants, you know, that they wanted to buy. And I said, no, that's too many. And they said, no. And I said, well, can you do this to it? Can you promise me you're going to do this? And can you do this? Can you do this? Yep, no problem. They had no idea what 1,000 tomato plants was. They went out and bought them. And then, but next year they, you know, we don't need that many. We know how much we need now. When you know what we can maintain. But there's no way if you said, no, you can't buy them. It wouldn't make sense to them. But now they know why they can't buy them or why they can't. It's not practical. Garden maintenance was another thing. All these little things. We just said, well, okay, maybe, you know, but you should think of this. But until they had the chance to actually experiment and experience a lot of their own decisions, that it make more sense to them. And they became more receptive to opinions when we started to bring in people who had expertise. They were more open to those opinions. Because
they had the reason for it.
Yeah. Because the people that we had on the original project had never gardened in their life, have never canned in their life, and they had no idea what they were doing, but they had fun, and they were learning. Because the type of people and resources we use, we've picked very carefully so that they didn't overwhelm them, they didn't take it and do it for them, but they were easygoing enough with them. Mm-hmm. The next year, the demand was stronger on them, and we set goals for them, and we asked them to attain those goals, and they were able to. We increased the acreage, and every year since we've increased the acreage, we're up to, we're still about an acre of vegetables, and we don't need any more than that because of the size of the community. But we're up to 46 acres of corn now, and they've become, it's really a joy to watch the sophistication in the things that they do and the way that they feel about what they're doing. And you don't have to no longer tell them, you know, did you remember to do this? Did you remember this? They automatically know that. It's their program and they run it. Every year, out of the 6 people, we've tried to remain keep two of the previous years, and those two train the others four. And the following year, four more are trained, and then four more are trained. And every year we've tried to keep training new people in the project that way.
One question I have is whether the people who have worked in the project then are more likely, for example, to have their own gardens at their own homes. Are you finding that kind of thing happening in vegetable gardens, or is that vegetable garden that the acreage you have for vegetables, is that basically serving the whole reserve?
That's interesting, because our purpose was to increase the number of people who grew. And we actually got a strong interest from the younger people in the community to grow. And the funny thing is that the people who had grown for years quit growing and said, I can get it off the ground.
Is that right? Isn't that
but
yeah.
A lot of them are older people, so that was fine with us. You know, they were older and we served the older ones anyway, so that was no problem. But it did strike up an interest, and you did see a little interest in and more women taking an interest in canning and trying it on their own. So I think you've seen a difference, not a major difference as we'd like to see, but there is a difference.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I think that sort of helped create that difference, and in the same way discouraged it, was that everything that's canned in this community is stored till Christmas. At Christmas, it's used at the feast, and whatever's left over is all boxed up, and everyone, every household in the community time gets a box from the community garden at Christmas of all canned vegetables from within their community. So, I mean, people look forward to that, especially the older people just love that. And the younger ones, it sort of encouraged some of them, you know, I can do this too, and I can grow this. Or some of them are even saying, I could do cornbread now. But, you know, and that's good. You like to see that. It's encouraging to see that happen. So we're at the point right now where we've gone through our market testing. We're moving into the actual business plan, the viability studies of the business. I'm really optimistic at looking at something being on the marketplace by April of next year. So it may be a small item at first, but I don't think we'll have any problem. And I think the band has taken, with the style of development we've done in the community, in the economics and the community development, I think the band has realized that we've got to start small and grow slowly. It's to the point that they have full control of what's happening in the reserve, in the development, in the economic development, and that doesn't control them and their livelihood. So, you know, they, for a while, you'll get an individual that'll come in and say, well, why don't you put up this, and why don't you do that, and you should have all this stuff on the market. And I think probably 7 years ago, you would have got everyone saying that. Well, let's do this, and let's get it all up. But now people understand it doesn't happen like that. And they're saying, okay, well, let's do one thing now, and let's build upon it later, and let's work on it. And they all have sort of their mindset that way now, and that's really a positive thing for them.
You know what's interesting to me, 2 years ago, 2 summers ago, Women's Workshop had sent me and another woman from
mm-hmm.
our group to Kenya in
mm-hmm.
Africa
mm-hmm.
to go to the United Nations Women's Conference. And it was to share women, there was the official one that all the highfalutin political
yeah.
people
yeah.
were doing, and there was the other one, which was really information sharing. And one of the things that consistently came out was that the most successful projects everywhere in the world were started off exactly like yours.
Yeah.
They were the ones where people felt a personal investment,
mm-hmm.
started small,
mm-hmm.
and then gradually grew.
Yeah.
And that they were the ones that were still going. And the other thing that the UN was saying was, which was interesting, was that if you had women involved in the project, or it was solely a woman's project, they were the most successful, because what they found with the women was that it meant the survival of their children.
Yeah.
And there was such a deep-seated investment in, I mean, just the physical survival of their children,
mm-hmm.
that they were the ones that worked.
Yeah, they are very hard workers.
Yeah.
And they have the strength, I think, a lot of times in the project to keep it going. The vision is in their children. And what do you work for constantly is for those children and their future. So when you, when you're talking of a long-lasting goal, and they're the first ones to pick up when you're saying, well, this is, when I'm talking to them and I'm saying, this is what I want to do or this is what I'd like to see, they're the quickest to clue in. The men will say, well, I don't know, you know. But the women are saying, sure, it can be done. And they'll do it. Or if I come up with something wild here, like to them, it was wild when I said, okay, we're going to make African flour today. And everybody started going. And I said, no, this is how you do it. And this is what we're going to do. And I explained to them how I knew about it. And I explained to them why I thought it would work. And I explained, you know, I think we can make it. What do you guys think? And the women were first to say, sure, we can make it. The men were saying, why? You know, and what do you want to make it for? And they'd ask all these questions, about, you know, a lot of negative comments. But that the women were the ones who made it happen and were able to make. Actually, it got to the point where I can take things to the women. I say, here, look at this. And I bring them something back and they'll look at it. We'll talk about it. They want to know what they do with it. You know, what happens to it. They'll play with it for a while. They can go in the kitchen and they can make it. As long as it, you know, involves that corn, they can do it.
Now, how did you make the African connection? How did that happen?
I worked for the University of Western Ontario, and when I worked there, I met a lot of African people who were on the exchange program, and I became really close to a lot of them. And one time I had some corn that someone had given me hanging in my office, and the woman looked at it, and she started to talk about the corn and how they use the corn, and we got into a big conversation about corn. And we used to actually end up at the end, exchange, do trading. I'd give her corn and she'd give me something else from her country. And she showed me how she used the corn. So I always knew it existed and that we could use it.
One of the things when I was in Kenya that intrigued me was that even right in the city, right in Nairobi, that there was a tiny patch of land, no matter where it was, under the shade of trees, it didn't matter. It was immediately to plant some corn.
Oh, yeah.
It was just, you know, survival for, I mean, people who were living in little shanties, lean-tos made out of garbage bags or boxes, always had a couple of rows of maize.
It's a very big staple within our diet. I've sort of, over the years, kept up some of my contacts with the African people, and also I had a chance to work with some Latin American people, and I kept up my contacts with them because we became very good friends. But during this project stages, we have been utilizing them a lot in terms of anything we make up in the kitchen regarding the flowers. We ship it off to them. They taste it. They tell us what was wrong with it, what was right with it. They would tell us what to do. And we've been able to come through that sort of contact with them with just the right flower base for the African. We're still working on Latin American, but the African is right. We've taken our products. Again, it's just basically through contact with the African communities. We were able to take our products to the Kenyan and Zimbabwe embassies. And they have responded extremely positive to our products and have been more than willing to buy what we have available to them. So it's growing and it has a lot of potential. And I think it's been a really exciting project. And it's been exciting in a sense that I have been able to work with it here at the grassroots level and watch the community and experience a lot of the growing of it and a lot of the growing with it. And in a lot of senses, it's actually brought the community a lot closer together. And at the same time, I've been able to get excited about what's happening away from the community in terms of our project, because it's been really sad.